Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now with Denise Thompson, certified health and wellness coach, nurse, fitness trainer, educator, speaker, and author. Today, I am facing a few challenges here with my computer. It's not actually coming up at this point, so I can't really see my transcript. I have some ideas of what I wanted to talk about, which had to do with the brain and memory and how it can be boosted. So let me start with what I remember and go from there and just kind of see if I'm going to be lucky and the rest pops out. Anyways, I've had so many people in my family with memory issues, and I have learned they're not all related to Alzheimer's disease. There could be so many other reasons for that, one of which is brain injury through cheerleading or to a whole bunch of other things like football, where they get the ball kicked or where they get slammed with the opponent, and so many other ways. So I was actually doing a lot of research trying to figure out, is there any way? Preventing is actually not really a key to this, because we do like to do sports and things, and we cannot just sit in a vacuum. So even a car accident can have anything to do with it, and you never know what's going on. So those are just some of the factors. But what I want to say is we can actually make some changes when it does happen, that we can make our situation better. So there are some things, some points, such as proper nutrition, after nutrition, of course, hydration, which is very important. Some other things which are important are daily exercise, get our pulse rate going, stimulate our brain cells and all that stuff. So those are some things we can do daily, and they're very important and they can help. Another good one is actually, I always wondered why my dad loved crossword puzzles so much, and I'm into word search and some other things, and it is to keep our brain stimulated. So there are some memory games we can do, some crossword puzzles, word search, a whole bunch of other things. And those are actually also some of the tests that the Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, has been doing with some of the people who had epilepsy and stuff, who were actually challenged with their memory. They could not make new memories. They had the old ones, some of which they would have liked to forget. And so actually the newest thing, since my old transcript is not up yet, the newest thing is actually that there is the world's first brain prosthesis revealed by Duncan Graham Rowe, and it's written up in the Daily News on March 12, 2003, but that was a long time ago. In the meantime, I have the newest articles from 2018 where they're doing things. And what is so incredible is that it is the hippocampus that deals with the memory, past, present, and future. And if there is a part of the hippocampus that is damaged, that part of the brain does not work with creating or remembering memories. So now in Silicon Valley, they have come up with a chip, a silicon chip, that they can insert in the damaged area of the hippocampus tissue. And I have a picture in front of me that's so cool. They show the cross section through the hippocampus with all its nerve endings and neurons and all that stuff. And they show the chip that they've created for the hippocampus chip that helps restore memories. And they insert that into the two barriers that they put in to block off the damaged part of the hippocampus. So it's pretty darn awesome. They started doing that with rats, that their brain was preserved in formaldehyde and they could get that back alive. And so that's pretty awesome. And then they learned how to actually encode the hippocampus, because it has a lot of codes in there. Nobody really knew what to do with it till some scientists actually got into that and started doing testing with non-invasive testing with people who gave permission to be tested on for epilepsy and things like that. And it was amazing. That chip is not really, it's more or less on top of the scalp or of the skull, and it's not inserted like some other things like the cochlear implant. So this chip is actually much more effective, and it's doing a lot more than anything else. So they're talking about what the model, the build, and the interface are. And the important statement is actually the job of the hippocampus appears to be to encode experiences so they can be stored as long-term memories elsewhere in the brain. If you lose your hippocampus, you only lose the ability to store new memories, says Berger. That offers a relatively simple and safe way to test the device. If someone with the prosthesis regains the ability to store new memories, then it's safe to assume it works. So they're going for that testing. Things that they've done is, so they have programmed that model, that modeling to a chip, which in a human patient would sit on the skull rather than inside the brain. It communicates with the brain through two arrays of electrodes placed on either side of the damaged area. One records the electrical activity coming in from the rest of the brain, while the other sends appropriate electrical instructions back out to the brain. The hippocampus can be thought of as a series of similar neural circuits that work in parallel, says Berger. So it should be possible to bypass the damage region entirely. Then they do some memory tests, and it's kind of like when you play a memory game, and you have those cards, they're all upside down, and you have to figure out, okay, which two cards are alike, and then you can put them away and you score points. And that's very similar with this. So they check how many cards can they actually do in a very short period of time, you know, just seeing the cards and then going back and doing it, or seeing the cards and waiting for a while and then going back and see what's happening. And the results are quite amazing. So yeah, they have to prove, actually, they as the scientists have to prove that this is actually a very good situation, that it's helpful before they can do real official human testing. But they've had some people who were willing to try with the cards and stuff with having the chip on top of their scalp. As always, there is always some collateral damage, which means that sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work, even though it's proven to work. The other thing is, just because it stimulates the memories, does not mean that the person who actually had agreed on having those tests done wants all the memories back. Sometimes they would prefer having some memories suppressed so they don't have to think about them anymore, which is, you know, depending on what your life was, sometimes you really don't want to remember certain things, and sometimes you really do. So that is one thing that they cannot guarantee yet. But it sounds like in California, they're going to be starting soon. So it says the world's first brain prosthesis, an artificial hippocampus, is about to be tested in California. Unlike devices like cochlear implants, which merely stimulate brain activity, the silicon chip implant will perform the same process as the damaged part of the brain it is replacing. So, man, these things are so amazing. Some of the models and stuff that they did, the inventors of these had to overcome three major hurdles. They had to devise a mathematical model of how the hippocampus performs under all possible conditions, build that model into a silicon chip, and then interface the chip with the brain. That's pretty sophisticated. And if you go to world's first brain prosthesis revealed, Google that article, you will see actually the graph of how everything is done and what they're going through. It's amazing. And then number two, they programmed the model onto a chip, which in a human patient would sit on the skull rather than inside the brain. It communicates with the brain through two arrays of electrodes placed on either side of the damaged area. One records the electrical activity coming in from the rest of the brain, while the other sends the appropriate electrical instructions out of the brain. And number three, the hippocampus can be a series of similar neural circuits that work in parallel, says Berger, one of the main scientists. So it should be possible to bypass the damaged region entirely. And then, as I said, they did the memory testing, and they started that over 10 years ago. So it has been actually in the making for close to 20 years, which means it's pretty safe to go for it. A lot of different places are involved in this to create this chip. One, which I said, is the Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Another one is Britain's University of Oxford. They had a philosopher, Bernard Williams, who's been very involved with it. There were a few more other people who were involved with it. And to support any of that, it was DARPA, which is actually the U.S. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, who sponsored this research for a pilot study. And it was published in today's Journal of Neuroengineering. Participants' short-term memory performance showed a 35 to 37% improvement over baseline measurements. And again, this was funded, this research was funded by DARPA. So there's so much that can be done. And it is just totally amazing. So I am a little bit stumped here because I said my transcript is not up and I'm kind of weaning it from what I wrote. So actually, there were some tests that are done, actually three, I think. The first test, they recorded the neural patterns or codes while the study participants were performing a computerized memory task. As I said, kind of like the memory game cards. We use those with our children when we start them out with remembering things. And then we even use them for us during the day, during, you know, our lifetime sometimes because it's fun. And then when we get older, we pull them back out again because we don't want the memory to fade. So I use those the cubes, actually the memory cubes, with my father-in-law, and that was pretty darn awesome. So yeah, so this is about that chip, and now finally my transcript popped up, so I can actually add a little bit more to it. And I'm starting with saying that, you know, how many of us actually have family and friends with memory problems? It doesn't mean, or it doesn't matter how they got there, or it is more important to see what can be done to improve their memory again. Science found that football, aggressive sports, nasty falls, epilepsy, and accidents can cause memory loss, but it can also be a natural progression with age. Is there anything we can do to prevent this memory robber? Well, as I mentioned previously, and now I can definitely state it, memory problems do not always mean Alzheimer's disease. They can be different things. And I did actually mention 10 steps on how we can slow it down, or maybe even help prevent it some. And one is daily exercise. Two is healthy nutrition. And that includes actually leafy green vegetables, salmon and other cold water fish, berries, and dark-skinned fruits. We know that dark berries, such as blueberries and blackberries and olala berries and boysenberries, they all are very high in antioxidants, which really helps the brain. Now, what I found was it's even stating that coffee and chocolate is great for your brain. Now, that means in moderation. And with coffee, I would definitely suggest it is coffee that has been processed in the most holistic way, where there is no mold left in the coffee beans after they've been processed, that it's totally clean. And there are a couple of them out there. One is Purity. Another one is Bulletproof. And those are quite pure coffee beans. You can get them in ground coffee beans, or you can get them in whole coffee beans and grind them yourself. They are a little bit more expensive than the cheap coffee or inexpensive coffee that you buy in the stores. And those are actually over the internet only. And if you are interested in getting access to those, let me know so I can actually give you the information on where to get them. Drinking plenty of water daily really helps your brain to work better because it needs to be hydrated. So everything works great. Word search and memory games I have mentioned already. Solving puzzles is a great one. And again, that's, you know, it reminds me, we're always going back to things we do as children or with our children or we've done as children. And so solving puzzles is another good one. We started at 2-3 years old with big puzzles, and then the pieces got smaller and more of them till up to 1,000 or more. And so now we can just start with a lot and start going back, but still do something daily so we can actually keep those brain cells stimulated. To socialize with others is another very important part. And why? Because we need to communicate. We need to stay active. Attention. We can't just sit there and vegetate. It's definitely up to the more active we are physically and mentally, the better off we are into an older age, more advanced age. When I think, I just met somebody. Oh, yeah. A friend of mine, she's 89, and she is still as sharp as a tack. I mean, you can't run anything by her. She just gets it. I know some other people. I knew a 96-year-old, and she was as smart as a tack till she fell and broke her neck and hip and stuff, and then finally had to succumb through death. But those are all important things that we do. Stay active. She did so much. She read, she talked, she was active, she was counseling people and doing stuff. It's amazing. So as I said, she stayed mentally active. Then another point is to get organized. When we organize things, we have to apply some strategies. That keeps us definitely healthy. And another big one is to sleep well. Well, not everybody needs the same amount of sleep, but everybody needs deep sleep with good REM. REM, rapid eye movement, memory. And that is so important that we actually sleep well and deep. For some people, 6 hours are enough. Others need 8 to 9 hours. So do what is best for you. And number 10, manage chronic conditions. Well, there are a lot of chronic conditions. Diabetes is one, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, stress, you name it. There are so many that we just need to learn to deal with them and help restore memory or form new memories versus doing nothing. What is your personal choice? I know I do every day something to keep my memories alive and to be able to form new ones every day. So that's why my saying is, the day I do not get to learn anything new is the day I start digging 6 feet under. It's just, I want to learn. I want to do something. I want to make a difference. I want to do something that I did not do the previous day. So it's pretty darn awesome. So, yeah, if you or someone you love has memory issues and wants to journey toward better or optimal health, gaining healthy body, healthy mind, healthy finances, it will make me happy to journey with that person, these people, and help them gaining health back. I've been there, I've done that, had several concussions, had to work on getting my memories back. I never totally lost it, but there are certain things that I don't remember. So I'm working on it. So having said all that, I just wish all of you an amazing week. If you want to connect with me, you can do that through Denise Thompson. That's DeniseThompson.ichooseoptimalhealth.com. And it's in the transcript. I could not hyperlink it, so sorry, you need to copy and paste it. Or you can text me or voicemail me at 562-335-4956. Leave me a precise message with your name and phone number and what you want to share. Or if you have any suggestions or if you would like to be on my show, I would love to have you. Anything that is related to physical, mental, and financial health can be covered in this. And memory definitely has to do with it. Because when you look at the homes they have for people who have memory loss, and when you look at the expense for having them there, when you have a loved one who you can no longer keep at home because you never know when they try to escape and they don't know it, but they won't find their way home. So what is less stressful and less expensive for you? To pay $6,000-$8,000 a month to have them in a home and have them being taken care of 24/7? Or for you to stress over them and get sick about it. Having said that, I can add to this that the book that I wrote about stress reduction, 15 steps to increase, no, to reduce stress and increase your health is in print. And as soon as it's out, I will share it. I will share a couple of chapters with it, from it, and let you know when my Amazon bestseller day is. I think presently it's June 21st, where you can then get it, and I will post it on Facebook and in all my groups that I am. You can get it on my Amazon bestseller day in Kindle form for only 99 cents, and that's for 24 hours. And the more I sell, the easier it is to make it to bestseller, which is actually my goal, to get there so I can write more books and go more into detail. One of the articles that I have actually referred to is, and that's a hyperlink, https://www.newscientist.com/article/dn3488-worlds-first-brain-prosthesis-revealed. And under that article, you can find a lot of information. My goal here is to create awareness, to make sure that not just I, but all of us know how we can prevent memory loss, how we can improve it, what our options are. And soon, with that hippocampus chip, silicon chip, sitting on top of our skull, it's such an amazing thing that, of course, they don't mention the price yet, but that too will come. And that might be less of an expense, of a much better experience than having our loved ones committed to an institution where we have limited hours to go visit them and spend time with them. So, yeah, I hope, despite the fact that this was a bit choppy since my computer took almost half an hour to come up, and yes, I'm getting a new one. there's just something going on. I hope you still get the main point about this, that we actually have quite a bit of control, and we cannot contribute everything to Alzheimer's as an excuse. Some of it might be, some of it is not. Protect your head when playing aggressive sports. When you are on a bicycle or motorcycle, make sure you wear your helmet. When you do car racing, you know you need to be strapped in and have a specific helmet with a shield. I mean, do all the precautionary things so you will not suffer from head injuries, which contribute to memory loss. Do whatever you can to be the best, do the best, and give the best you can daily, be it for yourself or your loved ones. Set a great example to your closest people, friends and family, and children, of course. And just make sure that everybody knows to every action there is a reaction and there are consequences. And some of them are good, some of them are not so good, but let's make the best out of everything. So, yep, that's it for today. I really hope I've been able to trigger some curiosity in your mind and memory to look back at some things and maybe go check out that article that I mentioned and the one that I hyperlinked on in my transcript. Do that, and I wish you all a most wonderful week. Stay happy, healthy, and empowered. And if all goes well, I'll talk to you next week again. And if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to let me know so I can answer them or refer you to the appropriate source. All right, take care, and until next week.